Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
And welcome to Schooled with a Professor. Joining us is Bill Polian, Hall of Fame General Manager. And before we start talking about this year's NFL draft, we got to get into something that you just started. You now have a podcast, which is long overdue and welcome, called Inside Football. When did you start it, and what's all in it?
Well, we started about 8 months ago. And we cover various topics that affect the game from the standpoint of what it's really like inside the building. So we've spent the last month, of course, talking about the draft. And then we'll finish up this coming week with our overview of what the draft really is, how the grades are built, what the teams do to stack the board, why they make trades, how they make trades, et cetera. So it's really inside football is really the an appropriate title, because we go really into depth on how clubs make decisions, what happens, et cetera.
Now, when's it available, and where is it available?
Well, it's available anytime you any place you get your podcast. And it's up every Friday. We have a new broadcast every Friday.
Okay, very good. What about some of your most recent ones involving the draft? What did you have on those?
Oh, we took four shows, I believe, to cover the overview evaluations of guys who are going to pop up in the first two or three rounds.
Fantastic.
You know, basically, my film analysis of each individual player.
And it's called Inside Football, Bill Polian. That should be great. I'm glad it's going so well. All right, let's get into this draft. How bad is this draft?
Well, I don't think it's one of the stellar ones we've seen. You know, when you look at the quarterbacks, with the exception of Trevor Lawrence, are all question marks. And we know historically that quarterbacks, if there are four quarterbacks in the first round, two of them will fail. That's the history going as far back as you want to go back. In terms of running backs, there are really only five that you would in the whole draft that you would say, you know, I really can count on this guy. All the others have pretty big question marks. Wide receivers, there are a lot of those. I mean, you can go down probably 12, 14 slots, depending on whether you like big guys or little guys, and you'll find people that are going to come in and help. So that's a big group. Tight ends, they're really only five, and that's not maybe six, but that, you know, that's not a big number. And then offensive tackles, I don't know if there are any other than Penei Sewell, to tell you the truth, and maybe Cosme from Texas, who are true offensive tackles. Darrisaw has all the measurables, but I'm not sure that in the end that's really what he is. And then a lot of the other guys are really guards when it's all said and done, I think. And then centers are always in short supply. There's probably two or three of them that you could really take to the bank. And then defensive tackles this year, it's kind of slim pickings. Defensive ends is very slim pickings when it comes to pass rushers. And inside linebackers, although not a hot commodity in any given year in the way football is played these days, not a big group, maybe three or four that you can count on. Outside backers, I think there's some pretty spectacular guys, but there are not many of them, honestly. And then corners, I think that's probably as deep a position as there is. But once you get down past about 9 or 10, you're talking about guys who are, you know, have some pretty big holes in them, as my old boss Norm Pollum used to say. And safety is very slim pickings.
Hmm. Yeah. Of course, the quarterback position is the most talked about, as I guess it is. But what I wonder, does this compare to 2011? Because you remember, that was a great draft. It's great defensive players, Hall of Famers up and down the first round. But also, they had a lot of quarterback failures, except for Cam Newton.
Yeah, well, you know, we know that 50% of them are going to fail. So if there are five drafted in the first round, which is conceivable, three of those are going to fail. You don't know which ones. it really is a crapshoot after the first pick, after Trevor Lawrence, who probably has the best chance of succeeding for all the reasons that, you know, we talk about ad nauseum. After that, everybody has a big question mark next to their name. And so only time will tell.
The San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, a lot of talk that they might go for the least athletic quarterback because that's kind of the nature of what Kyle likes in his quarterback, Mac Jones from Alabama. What do you think they will do at number three?
Gosh, I don't know. They've done a really good job of camouflaging what their thoughts are. And typically you would camouflage for one of two reasons. One, because you're afraid somebody will jump over you and take the guy you want. And secondly, because you're trying to drum up a trade. But neither of those possibilities seem to exist. So it seems to me that they've done a really good job of keeping their cards close to the vest and saying to themselves, well, okay, we'll keep this quiet until we finally make the pick, and I applaud them for that. That's great work.
Well, one thing that came up yesterday in calling around, and particularly in Atlanta, it now starts to sound like Arthur Blank is pushing for the idea to take a quarterback at number four, even though they've got $65 million plus of proration still tied up in Matt Ryan and probably can't get him out of the roster for 2 years. Do you think they do take a quarterback? And if so, which one?
Well, first of all, I don't think they have a choice because three will go. So they're going to get number four or below, depending on who they like. So that's point one. Point two is, I find it hard to believe that they would take a quarterback at that spot with, the tight end / Superman wide receiver on the board, or any other position at Penny Sewell. They need offensive linemen badly. When in fact Matt Ryan is still a good quarterback. And it's going to cost you a lot of money even next year to let him go. And I don't think the cap is going to increase so greatly that you could handle that hit. And besides which, Matt Ryan is still a serviceable quarterback. Now, if you take the position that next year is going to be a very strong draft because of the extra year that many of these kids have gotten in college courtesy of the NCAA and COVID, you might say that, well, okay, we'll take the quarterback and we can trade Matt Ryan next year, but that's a big dollar number to trade. So that's a complicated question. I know they are spending a lot of time on it. They right now they're spending time on that. They haven't made up their minds, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to follow. And, of course, the tight end that you bring up is Kyle Pitts. The one thing I did hear yesterday is they're a little – because I thought they were going to go for Penny Sewell, and they still might, but I think they're a little bit down on him for some reason.
I have not heard that. I know they're in really focused discussions on the first round, that mm-hmm. much I know.
Now, the one interesting thing that came up this week is that we all know that the medical thing is a mess right now because there was no Indy combine. They did have a Indy test last week, and now we find out that Justin Fields has a small bout of epilepsy. How much do you think that affects him, and will it cause him to drop a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you there's a lot of discussion between general managers, personnel directors, maybe even owners. In fact, very possibly owners, with their local doctors and with epilepsy specialists in their markets or even around the country about what this means. Now, I happen to have a granddaughter who suffers from it, so I know a little bit about it. And it is possible to outgrow it, but you underline the word possible. It doesn't always happen, and it's treated with medication and sometimes even the implantation of a device, which allows the athlete to perform at a relatively high level. But that is a really, really, that's an out of the, there's always a surprise, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something that comes out of the blue, this is it. Something always comes out of the medical recheck that knocks you right on your back, and this is it. So obviously you wish the young man well, but I know from my own family that there's discussion about how you treat this and what the future looks like and so on and so forth. Now, the good news is that he apparently hasn't had any incidents at his time in Ohio State, so far as I know, but that's not verified either.
Yeah, but the one thing that also came out is that apparently this is in his family, and several family members, once they get into their mid-20s, it does tend to go away. So, I think it's certainly, you're right, you got to check it out right now because you just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, and it doesn't. That's not true of everyone. I have no knowledge whatsoever of the young man's case. I just know in my own family that what we've discovered by talking to any number of specialists is that they do have a tendency to outgrow it. Now, how often does that happen? I can't say.
Now, the Denver Broncos are in an interesting position at number 9. You know, they want to bring a quarterback in to compete against Drew Locke, not necessarily to replace him, but to compete against him. And they've lost so many opportunities. Like, they didn't get Sam Darnold in a trade. Alex Smith retired. I don't know how interested they were in him. I think that they're in conversations with Carolina over Teddy Bridgewater, but nothing's done there. I mean, what do you think they do at number 9? Do they trade up to get a quarterback? Do they take a quarterback? And what do they do?
Well, they are a trade-up possibility for one of the top 4 or 5 with Atlanta. Carolina is also a trade-up possibility, but they're blocked because I don't think Atlanta will trade with them. Rarely would you trade with a team in your division to help them get a quarterback that's considered to be a top prospect. So I think they're blocked. I think Carolina is blocked from going to 4. But Denver isn't. They're in the other conference. And so to go from 4 to 7, if they're not interested, if they don't feel they absolutely have to have the Florida tight end, that they'll take another position and pick up some significant down the line choices to do it. That's a logical place to go. And then, if you're going to trade up to the 4th pick in the draft, it's not because you want competition for Drew Locke. It's because you believe that whoever you're drafting is the answer.
Of course, one thing with Carolina, would they really trade up for a quarterback after giving away a 6 this year, a 2 and a 4 next year to get Sam Darnold?
They have said that they would consider it in the right situation, but I don't know that they're necessarily, they're blocked with Atlanta, I think, and I don't think, obviously none of the top 3 are going to trade out, so I don't know where they go. It's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, particularly knowing that they are going to execute the with Sam Darnold the 5th-year option, which is $18 million. It's like that's a 2-year commitment for the most part with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily a stumbling block for them. If they could get the right guy, if they got the guy that they of their dreams, so to speak, but it would have to be the right guy. But they've said. They haven't closed the door on a trade.
Now, what about the three teams that are in the middle of the first round looking for quarterbacks? New England at 15, Washington at 19, Chicago at 20. It'd be tough if four quarterbacks go in the top four for them to get up there, but I could actually see Carolina being right in front of Denver. If the fifth quarterback falls to Carolina and they don't take him, that they can maybe work out a deal with one of those three teams.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, it's going to be costly because those teams are really low. And so if there is a tumbler, you know, we got the first three, and then one of the top four begins to tumble and gets to Carolina, and they don't want him, then you go ahead and make it a deal. But it's going very far down. So it's going to be very, very costly. All three are, New England's the most logical one at 15, but 19 and 20 are, you're right at the end of the first round choices at that point in time. I'm sure you've told your listeners this, but I'll repeat it. There are not 32 first round grades in any draft, for that matter.
No.
Much less this one. So it usually ends right around 20. So you're really at the back end of the first round prospects. It'd be costly to do. New England's the most logical one. Mm-hmm. So if a tumbler were to get to Carolina, then to do business with New England is a possibility.
How rare is it that it's very well possible that in the first nine picks, a defensive player will not be taken? I don't think we've ever seen this. And we may have four defensive players in the first round, maybe only 14 or maybe 13.
Yeah, that's exceedingly rare. To have only one in the top 10, wow. But it speaks to the Rushman. You know, this is not a stellar year for Rushman for a number of reasons.
What would be some of the reasons for that?
Well, you know, you got Rousseau is an opt-out. So there's only really 1 year of production there. The other defensive end from Miami is got medical issues, and I don't know where people stand on him. We know that there are medical issues there because he was released by UCLA, for medical reasons. And then Kwity-Paye has zero sacks. I mean, he's not a very productive guy, despite incredible numbers. The same is true of Jason Owa. They're height, weight, and speed guys, but there's not a lot of production there. And then, on the defensive tackle side, there might be, five guys, and maybe only two you would consider first rounders. Same at linebacker. Corners, I think there'll be three first rounders. And outside linebackers, I think there'll be three first rounders. And one of those, Ojulari, I think he'll be a terrific rusher. So you could add him to the rush mix. But this is typically thin, untypically, I should say, thin for defensive players.
Bill Polian, I thank you for joining us here on Schooled with the Professor. And don't forget, everybody, get the Inside Football podcast. It's posted every Friday, and it's going to be heavily draft-oriented and really good stuff. Hey, Bill, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Professor. It's been a pleasure to be a visiting guest lecturer.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
See ya.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at Clayton ESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.
Save saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.